Welcome to the Research Data Alliance Data Streams podcast series, a place where researchers, scientists, and data professionals share their experience of working together in the Global Research Data Alliance community to address and solve the challenges of sharing and managing research data. My name is Stephanie Hagstrom, and I am the Director of Community Development at the RDA US and the host of this podcast series. Today, we will hear from members of one of the newest RDA groups, FAIR Principles for Research Hardware Interest Group, and what their motivation was to start this group, what challenges and potential impacts they will address, what outputs they have planned, and how you can get involved. I am joined by the chairs of the group, Dr. Julian Kolom from the Humboldt University in Berlin, Germany, and Nadica Mikovits, Associate Professor from the University of Belgrade School of Electrical Engineering and guest researcher at the Faculty of Electrical Engineering, University of Ljubljana. Thank you both for participating in this podcast today. Nadica, if I may start with you, please. Will you please describe the challenges this group aimed to address?
Stephanie, it's nice to be here. Thank you for inviting us and thank you for this opportunity to showcase our RDA group. My name is Nadica Mikovits and together with Julian Kolom, I serve as chair at the FAIR Principles for Research Hardware Interest Group. With the establishment of this group, we aim to address the human and machine readability of hardware design, as well as to foster recognition of research hardware as a research output. We want to achieve these objectives specifically by adapting and expanding FAIR principles for research hardware. For those who are not familiar, FAIR stands for findability, accessibility, interoperability, and reusability. It was formally introduced in 2016 in the Scientific Data Journal. Up till now, FAIR is widely used and adopted for data. It has been more recently adopted for software, thanks to the work of the FAIR for Research Software RDA group. We recognize that although hardware presents a valid research output, it has not received much attention in the scientific community. So we wanted to tackle this problem within the FAIR for Research Hardware group.
Thank you, Nadica. I'd like to address the next question to you, Julian, if I may. How does this work build on previous work in general and within the RDA community?
Thank you for the question, Stephanie. I'm Julian Kolom. I'm together with some colleagues in Berlin. I'm working in a project in Berlin to foster open science and research quality, which is called Open Make towards open and FAIR hardware. We started this work before recognizing that FAIR hardware was not defined, and then we had the problem that we needed the definition. Instead of just writing one ourselves, we reached out to different communities in open hardware enthusiasts in order to build a core team, and we did that via the GOSH forum. And on the other side, I contacted the FAIR for Research Software RDA group chairs to know what their strategy was to write the FAIR principle for research software and see if we could apply this strategy. Not much later, we chose with the GOSH community to create our RDA interest group to organize the work. And this has become the founding team of our interest group, and we met with Nadica there. I think, Nadica, you have a slightly different perspective and background. Maybe you want to tell us about it.
Yes, thank you. My background is in electrical engineering, and to be more precise, in biomedical engineering. About 4 years ago, I got involved in open science, free software, and open hardware initiatives, as I felt that they are very important for my own research as well as for my work in education. Then I found out about the RDA 3 years ago when I became an RDA member. And I really enjoyed work within other RDA groups, especially within CureFAIR working group that is focused on the curation practices that support both computational reproducibility and FAIR principles. One of the side effects, if I may classify it that way, of my enrollment within the CureFAIR group is the conference paper titled Towards FAIR Principles for Open Hardware, which is also authored by Limo P, one of the chairs of the CureFAIR group, and Anna Trishovic, member of the group. And with this paper, we aim to assist open hardware practitioners with guidelines that will help them conform to FAIR principles to make open hardware more discoverable, reusable, and transparent. In a simple way, we wanted to provide practitioners with the recommendations on how to share their research output smartly. I'm very happy with this side effect, as this paper is apparently widely read. That is how I got in touch with the GOSH community. GOSH stands for Global Open Science Hardware, and I met Julian there. I was really pleasantly surprised that he was too, at the very same time, advocating for FAIR principles for hardware as research output. There are other initiatives as well, such as FAIR Battery Project, aiming to produce open source electrochemical battery, led by Professor Sanli Faes at the Utrecht University in the Netherlands, just to name some.
That's really interesting that you both met up from completely different backgrounds. So who do you see as potential adopters of the FAIR principles for hardware, Julian?
Yeah, so we have a primary objective to get researchers, research organization funders, and scholarly communication professionals to recognize FAIR principle for research hardware and recognize research hardware as a research output. But working on it, we realized that this work may have a larger audience and impact. Indeed, at the last plenary, we had a workshop and we discussed putative adopters. And during the discussion, we were quite surprised to see the number of different professions which could actually be interested parties in this definition of our hardware. As an example, we discussed that setting quality standards in terms of maintainability and customization, or how easy it is to repair the hardware. We could modify the rules and policies in terms of what hardware is bought by research institutions. And doing that, our work goes well beyond just helping the researchers and the engineers to document their hardware and get recognized for that work, but it could also help redefine what the hardware quality means and maybe bringing sustainability aspect on the top of the list of what features the hardware should have.
Thank you, Julian. What challenges do you think you both faced that led to you starting this group? Nadita, let's start with you, please.
While research depends on hardware, for example, for data collection, and while many researchers are customizing their hardware, there is close to zero recognition and zero funding for the production of good documentation of the hardware design. There are both cultural and technical challenges that we are trying to address here.
Yeah, and indeed those challenges are huge. And that's also why you want to start a RDA group, because the challenges are bigger than yourself, right? And in terms of cultural challenges, for instance, we have questions like the definition of what is research hardware and what is not, how to raise awareness of the issue of research hardware as a research output, and something which is maybe more linked to the researchers themselves, how to guide them, document their hardware, or to guide a peer review or quality assessment of hardware. And all this could lead to the foundation principles for hardware publication platforms in the end. And there are also a lot of technical challenges where, because hardware is very complex, especially hardware documentation contains different types of data, including documentation text forms, spreadsheets, binary files, and software. And this requires, for instance, different type of licenses.
Indeed, Julian, we have a lot of challenges. I'd like to add in this line of thought that we also face some sub-challenges, such as complex hardware dependencies and the fact that firmware is in some cases needed for proper research hardware functioning. In brief, firmware is a special type of software that is installed on a hardware and it's essential for its operation. Therefore, software is in some cases an inherent hardware component. To add even more complexity in that, research hardware can produce data, for example, as a result of simulation code for electronic design or even other hardware. So we have to envision possible dependencies and their complex interactions. But maybe the main technical challenge for hardware in comparison to software lies in its nature. Only its documentation can be shared digitally, while physical components are necessary for its operation and sometimes also to assess its quality. So, expectedly, our list of challenges is large indeed. Further, we also want to address the underrepresentation of low and middle-income countries in the process. Currently, we are witnessing the momentum towards open-source hardware in these countries, but we have to find an appropriate means to reach out to their communities and individuals. This is important as we believe that overall guidelines would benefit from the variety of experiences contributing to the overall diversity, both in research performing organizations and maker communities. Hopefully, we'll gather more interested parties and people around the globe. This podcast is also an excellent opportunity. So thank you, Stephanie.
Well, you're welcome. We're happy to hear about your work. Can you also provide some particular real life examples on what you meant by hardware complexity?
Yes, let me take this question first. I was some weeks ago in the presentation of a national contest of maker projects made by teenagers. And they presented a simple hardware product like a setup that will recognize when people enter the toilet and will tell other people that it's full when it's full. It looks very simple. It's pretty simple to build, but if you want to document that, you have different types of data and different parts you have to put together. So you have on one side the electronic parts, which in this case was an Arduino board, one sensor, and one LED panel for the output. There was one software port, which is the code controlling the Arduino and the relation between the input and the output. And then you add some construction. So miniatures made with cardboard or Lego or wood. And you can imagine that if such a simple project is already quite complex in its documentation, larger project like, for instance, the open flexure microscope, which is a 3D printed microscope, which is widely used worldwide, it becomes the complexity becomes much more, right? And there are several modules put together. The microscope has different versions of it, and it has been developed for years. So it's a tick more complex in this setup, right? So the complexity is mostly dealing with different versions of the hardware in this case, and to know what version of what modules goes together, what version of the software should be used for which type of hardware, and so on and so on. So it becomes very difficult to keep up with the documentation, which is then out of date for different reasons at different places. Nadicha, you may have some better examples to present
Well,
or
I don't know
others.
the better, but maybe some interesting examples of hardware complexity include, for example, hardware that produces hardware, such as 3D printers being printed by other 3D printers, or robots building other robots or hardware components or even other devices. In some cases, new hardware is built by using other hardware, for example. You can use Arduino electronic board to build the flexure microscope, as Julian explained, you explained previously.
Thank you both. These are quite complex challenges this group will be tackling, and I was wondering where are you at this point with activities of this group?
So we started like 6 months ago now, but in the process of our DA group, it's still very, very young. The interest group has been endorsed just before the plenary, and our main work now is to reaching out to diverse individuals to find diverse parties to join our groups. So we're trying to reach out with blog posts, with forum entries on the GOSH forum, for instance, but also via direct emails and now as of for today, participating in podcasts.
Exactly. And more particularly, the first subgroup around research hardware definition has also been established. It is led by Alexander Strack, and we are currently drafting necessary materials and use cases that will enable us to define research hardware. For example, we know that software, more specifically firmware, is an inherent part of the hardware required for its operation. However, should the definition of research hardware include firmware, or should we just state that software can be strongly interrelated with research hardware? That's an open question, although they should not share the same licenses. So another question interesting that we are dealing with in this subgroup is what happens when research hardware is commercialized? Is it still research hardware or not? And currently we have different opinions within the group, and we would like to hear what other people think as well.
Well, thank you. How can listeners to the podcast get involved in this project, and what would be a good way to engage in the FAIR Principles for Research Hardware interest group and its work, now or later?
I think this is a perfect timing, as most of our efforts are now directed towards reaching out to potential parties like institutions, organizations, individuals who can join us. Our group has more than 30 members, and we have regular monthly Zoom meetings. Maybe it sounds way too enthusiastic, but we've set our goal to reach 60 active group members in the next 10 months. The simplest way to engage is to join the group. You will then receive invitations by emails for our meetings. And in the archive, you will also be able to see older emails with links to our online documents. The chair's emails are also visible there, so please feel welcome to contact us directly if you like. Our plan is to form subgroups or co-members to work on the definition of FAIR for research hardware from different perspectives. So we are interested in FAIR for research data principles in relation to hardware. Then we are also interested in particularities of FAIR for research software principles, again, in relation to hardware. We would like to tackle the hardware certification processes and acquire more open research hardware examples and dissemination practices. And in the end, we are going to strive to an output with wishful best practices for open hardware.
Wonderful. So for those listening, if you'd like to join this group, you can go to the RDA website and look for the tab groups. And there is a list of interest groups. Look for this group. And once you land on that page, there's a place where you can join. I want to thank you both for all that you've contributed. It's been very interesting. And before we close, do you have any last thoughts you wish to share?
I think we covered the essence of our principles for the Research Hardware Interest Group. I hope that more people will recognize the need and join us in this exciting journey. And thank you, Stephanie, for having me here. It's been a great privilege and pleasure to join the RDA US podcast today.
Yeah, I join myself in thanking you, and I'd like to take the opportunity to thank the RDA organization in general. It's really fantastic to be part of this, and it makes a big difference, both in terms of working, because you attract a lot of very expert and diversity in expertise in our RDA group, and also in terms of, I would say, branding, because when going to your funders or your PI saying you're part of an RDA group is a different thing than just saying you're part of a discussion on GitHub. So it makes a big difference in how the work is seen from the outside. And I think it's a fantastic opportunity to move this collective communication and FAIR data in the right direction. So thank you a lot to bring that to us.
Yeah, thank you so much. I really appreciate you both being here. It was a lot of fun listening to what your challenges are and what your plans are moving forward. And that's it. Thanks to the listeners for joining our podcast. And please visit the RDA website at rd-alliance.org to join the community. Thanks for listening.
The Data Streams podcast series is hosted by the Research Data Alliance U.S. region and funded by the U.S. National Science Foundation. Upbeat Theme Loop, created by Mirth Nirona, is used under a Creative Commons license. For more information about the group or outputs discussed on today's podcast, or to listen to other episodes, find us at rd-alliance.org/podcast or on the Research Data Alliance's YouTube channel. Thanks for listening.